Edition
with Bushra
and Priya.
Thank you guys for joining in and listening to us and giving us a chance. And hopefully we can keep you guys entertained, maybe talk about things that, I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast. We talk about topics that are very, you know, taboo or people don't really talk about, people are scared to talk about, and we're going to do it unfiltered.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I think we're both a little bit nervous, so this is the unfiltered version of us. So Bush, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Okay, so I am Bush Ramdani. I got married 9 years ago, 9.5 years ago.
Wow.
And I've had 3 kids since, one boy, 8 years old, and 2 girls, 6 and 4.
Such a cute kids.
Thank you, they are. And so before I got married, I was pre-dental for many years, and I graduated with my bachelor's from UTD in psychology. Because even though I have a family full of doctors, my dad was an oncologist, mom's a psychiatrist, sisters are doctors, brothers in residency, they wanted me to follow them, but I didn't want to, so I tried to be pre-dental. And I got a master's in cell and molecular biology from Tulane.
Damn.
After graduating, did research at Baylor for a couple of years, didn't work out, didn't like it, and I convinced my parents to let me move to San Antonio to do my master's in professional mental health counseling. And so I got that. I graduated in 2014, and I worked for about a year, year and a half, and then I met Yusuf, and we got engaged in October, married in April of 2014, and I moved to Honduras, started my life there. We moved to Mexico after that, once my son was born, and I've spent the last 8 years in Mexico just living my life. Raising my kids. I took a break from work, and that time I spent all my time baking and helping my husband with the foundations in his business, writing a book. I'm a published author now of a children's novel, Alia's Adventures. Alia moved to New York City.
I got to show you her lovely book. It's actually so cute. Please go buy it. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold.
Anyway, I would appreciate it because it's very, I wrote this because I always loved writing. I actually wrote this before I even met my husband because I grew up reading. I read a lot to learn English when I moved to the U.S. because I was 5. And so I never saw brown people in the books I read. I never saw Muslims in the books I read. So I was like, you know what, when I grow up, I'm going to write a book about a, you know, brown girl who's Muslim and just write about her life. And so that's what I've been doing. I've just been busy raising my kids, doing my hobbies, projects, building a home, and just doing this stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
How about you, Priya?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I don't know how I can follow up with that life, but
you can try. No, you do
no.
A lot.
My name is Priya Tahim. I grew up in Dallas, and then, oh my god, why can't I introduce myself? Okay, so
there's just so much. You're like a hustler.
No, so I'm a therapist and I practice owner. So I have a location in Washington, D.C., Virginia, and Texas. I am obsessed with my 2 nieces. I think you know that. I'm really family oriented. So, like, I like feel like my family is like my best friends. And so, just like, I've been hanging out with them. I recently moved back to the area after being in D.C. for 7 years. 7 years, and it's kind of weird to be back. And then I also published my first children's book. Yeah, The Adventures of Naya and Gumbo. Actually, you know, the characters are based off of, like, my older niece, Naya,
yes,
and their former dog, Gumbo.
Cute, cute, amazing book.
Aww,
really, really
you.
Helpful book for kids.
Yeah, it's definitely, I wrote it because obviously mental health is a huge component of my life, and I think giving a voice back at a younger age is definitely something that I've been trying to do in my work, and so that was why I wanted to write this book. In my other meantime, I do like to, like, travel. I like to just, like, make memories with my family and my friends. I'm a writer as well on the side. Like, I used to write for a couple online magazines,
yeah.
So I'm hoping to get back into that. And yeah, that's a little bit about
you. You write for a lot. You've been interviewed by a bunch of magazines.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Little pieces written about you.
Yeah. I guess, like, also the reason why we started this podcast is because, so I don't even remember when I met you.
I don't either. Because you met through your older sister, Vanita. I was friends with her more. Because it's when I moved back from San Antonio, so 2012. Yeah.
Maybe.
And so I moved back, and that's when I started hanging out with Vanita and Neha and that crowd. I never hung out with the Kapal crowd.
Oh, like the Punjabi group.
Yeah, the Punjabi group. And so I met you through her, I think.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. So Bushra and I are like besties. We, I think, got closer right before you got engaged, I would say, right? And I think it's because we were both like in mental health, and like I think we are fairly similar. We're both middle children.
I technically, you actually really are. You're two of three, but I am two of five. But the first three were girls. We're girls.
Yeah, yeah,
my
you're
brother.
Girls.
So my sister technically, she calls herself. She is technically the middle child, but I was raised as the middle child. I fit all the.
I think you both have similar qualities for that, but I definitely see you as a middle child.
Yeah, I'm definitely a middle child.
Yeah.
I tick all the boxes.
So I definitely think that's what attracted, like, our friendship.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I actually remember when you got engaged. I was in, like, in England visiting my family. I got a text from you. I was like, what the hell? I've been gone for, like, a week.
Yeah, because it was like an arranged marriage. So it was done. It was, like, in a snap. Yeah, because you're younger than me. Manita's my age. And you're my little sister's age,
Me and Marima are I think we're, like, only a couple of weeks apart, like, two or three
weeks
apart.
You are, you're both.
Which is funny, because growing up, I think, like, me and her, like, were friendly with each other.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I became friends with you, it was, like, always, like, a weird taboo thing. Like,
Hanging out
with, like, the older crowd.
I always got shit. Everyone would make fun of me, like, first you're hanging out with a bunch of, like, older people, because all my friends were, like, in their 40s and 50s. And then now it's, like, now you're hanging out with people that are younger than you. I had no friends my age.
Yeah.
So.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah. Well, I had a lot of friends. All my friends in college were boys. I hung out with a lot of guys.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
And then
do you think guys and girls can just be friends?
I think if there is, they absolutely can, as long as there is no mutual sexual attraction.
But how do you, I guess, like, this was one of the questions, like, so we did this, like, a Q&A when we first started launching our podcast, and I think the question that popped up the most was, like, can guys and girls truly just be friends? And I think, yeah, like, hell yes, they can just be friends.
I think so too. I definitely think they can be friends. I was friends with a lot of guys growing up, and I think the main thing is that I was never into any of them. I never even thought about it. It wasn't like a last, like, minute, like,
a little cameo by my husband.
Each other, no one did. No one crossed the boundary. No one crossed the line. No one did anything, and none of us drank, so there was no issue of, like, oh, when someone got drunk, they tried to. No, there was nothing. It was very obvious, known boundaries that neither of us were going to do anything romantic with each other. So we were able to just be friends, and I was friends with all guys because I could not stand girl drama, and girls bring a lot of drama, and I just didn't have
the
bandwidth for it.
Drama.
It's a lot. I don't know what it is and why it is, but they bring a lot of drama. With boys, it's so easy. There's no jealousy. There's no competition.
I would say, actually, now as I'm older, guy friendships are so much more complicated than girlfriend friendships. I think they like to gossip, too. But, like, backing up, I do think, I think I disagree that there has to, like, if there's an attraction, then you can't be friends, because I think that sometimes, like, you just find, like, your friend's pretty or your friend's handsome.
No, but it's not about thinking that, because all my friends were all very handsome boys.
Yeah.
But I never, like, it was very.
Oh, you're talking about, like, sexual.
Yeah, like, I never,
like,
it
that.
Wasn't,
okay,
like,
okay, okay,
I
okay,
can
okay,
think
yeah.
a guy is extremely handsome and yet not want to do anything romantic.
Oh,
totes,
okay, yeah. Okay, no, I agree with that. I think that, you know, I do think that guys and girls can be friends. Obviously, I'm like you. I have a lot of guy friends, and I grew up with, like, so, like, obviously I have a lot of cousins, and the cousins, like, my age on my dad's side are, like, it was, like, two boys and two girls, and so, like, I was always around, like, the guys growing up.
Okay.
And then also just, like, being the younger sister, my sister, all of her friends were guys. It's, like, I feel like that just naturally gravitated me into this, like, zone of just making friends.
And you're
with
very
guys.
Tomboyish.
Me, I am, like,
I think that helps.
Team no pants, like, I hate wearing, like, jeans, I hate wearing, like, anything, like, if I'm not in my leggings, I'm in, like, a dress, like,
you need to be comfortable.
Yeah,
no
I
frills.
Just cannot,
yeah.
I don't do high
heels. You're not,
heels,
like, you know,
like,
hour of makeup to get ready.
No, this took 5 minutes, and yeah. This is only because after this, I have to go to, like, a party. So.
Yeah, and I'm rocking a no-makeup look.
Yeah, you know? Which I love. Like, that's me. Like, I go to my sessions without makeup on, and my clients always tell me that how refreshing it is to have a therapist that just, like, shows up authentically as versus, like, tries to put on this, like, perfection, like whatever it's persona.
Like their mask. Not there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
You know, that's just they love their makeup.
I wish I was like good at that stuff, and I truly wish I had that fashion sense. But I'm like, I could care less.
I think that's what helps you get along with boys because they don't want. Most of them don't want to deal with a friend that's like all frilly and fussy and girly.
Yeah, I will say recently I've been a little bit of a girly girl. With my, like, emotions, but I think, like, I just got out of, like, an 8-year relationship, and I think that was a huge healing journey for me, but...
Yeah.
I guess that kind of naturally segues into, like, what, like, you know, you got an arranged marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Like, how it started, why I went for it, what was, like...
Kind of, like, everything, like, what made you say yes, as well as, like... You know, like, what were your feelings? I'm sure that was, literally, I remember the text. I think I probably still have the text on some of my old phones of you saying, I just got engaged.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the?
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah. it's in our culture. It's in the South Asian culture. It's very normal. And my older sister had arranged marriage, and unfortunately, her first one didn't work out. But my parents were not. My parents were a love marriage. They fell in love with each other in med school, and they fought for each other because neither grandparent wanted each other for their child. And so, and my little sister, you know, is a love marriage, and it's a very, like, it's a mix of everything. There's no, like, rhyme or reason. And we're not, for the people that aren't aware, like, desi means brown, and it's not, we're not, like, the conservative, uneducated arranged way where it's like you have to marry this person whether you like it or not. Arranged just means
like
for us, yeah. Like I got introduced to him through my parents, and my parents let me choose. And they were very practical about it. You know, like when I did meet Yusuf, I had just gotten out of like this talking relationship with this guy who was a radiologist, and we met through Shadi.com, which is like
The first, the OG dating website of Shadi means wedding.
Yes. Shadi means wedding. So like I had my profile up on Shadi.com in my last year of my second master's. So my mom was like, it's time, like you're 20. I think I was like 24, 25. And she's like, you know, like it's time you need to get out there. So I put my profile, talked to a bunch of guys, and I found one guy, and his name was whatever, but he was from Chicago. Yeah.
Let's not name names.
My parents loved it because he was a radiologist, and being doctors themselves, they wanted me to be with the doctor. And so it was going great, and he came to the house. And
wait, hold on.
No.
Oh, I was going to say, okay. College. Okay, sorry.
Then he was, you know, my parents were like, okay, he came over with his mom, and his dad had passed away, so he came with his mom, and his mom straight up was like, your daughter's not good enough for my son, because he's a doctor,
girl.
And he needs to be with a medical professional.
Oh my
gosh. And my mom was like, well, she's not stupid. She comes from a family of doctors. She's very high educated.
4 or 5 like degrees.
I know. My mom was like, well, she's not like a doctor or a dentist, but she's going to be a professional counselor, a mental health counselor. And she was like, no, it needs to be an MD or a DO or something. And he got engaged later to a dentist from Florida. And so I have no idea what their life is like now, but I do know, like, he called me up a week after. And this was, like, timeline of this was we started talking in May, right before I graduated my master's in 2012. And around July, it was just 2 months of talking. We had never met each other.
Oh,
besides, like, and this was, like, pre-FaceTime. I still had a BlackBerry back then. So this was, like, phone call.
You're totally right.
2012. Yes. I don't have an iPhone yet. My first iPhone I got in 2013.
That's when, like, BBM was still a thing.
Yeah. Like, I remember just talking to him literally strictly through text and phone calls.
Oh my gosh.
FaceTime, no video. I had, aside from his three, he could have been catfishing me this whole time. He didn't end up. I mean, he did say he was much taller in his profile than he actually was in real life, but I feel like the majority of guys do that anyway.
Yeah.
So, but that was the extent of his catfishing. But everything else was true, and I had no idea what this guy even looked like, but just through talking, we clicked. We clicked really, really well to the point that he was the first person I told my parents, like, I could marry this guy. Mm-hmm. This is, I could literally have a future with him. I could see it. And so when he came, his mom didn't approve of me for her reasons. And he got me to a dentist a week later. And so this was July when I moved back. And I was heartbroken. I was like, this is it. This is over. This, I'm done. And my mom was like, okay, let me just send out your photos again to some friends who know people. And they sent a photo to Yusuf. And he, Ramadan was like, our month of fasting was that, at that time it was in July. So Yusuf was in his transit to Saudi Arabia from Honduras. He stopped over to Dallas because he has very, very good friends here that live here as well.
Yeah.
And so those best friends, me and my parents, and through all of them, we got in touch. And I remember the second, that was like the first day of Ramadan. So we broke fast at the uncle's house and Yusuf was there. So it was very formal. Because I barely talked to him. I didn't sit down. I, like, it was literally like he was across from me from the dinner table the whole time.
Oh, so it was like very much like family run.
Yeah, like my sister was there, my parents were there, like his friend's son. Like, it was like 12 people at the table.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk to each other. But then the next day I was at work and I was exhausted because, like, we stayed up all night with our prayers. And so, like, I was so, so tired because at this time I was working in Grand Prairie. So I had to drive 2 hours to get to work.
Oh, yeah.
And I finished working at 4, I think, was my last family therapy and appointment. And so I finished, like, my dad called me at like 5 and was like, don't come home because Yusuf extended his flight one more day and he wants to hang out with you, but this time you guys can go one-on-one, just meet him like in a mall or something, someplace public. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I was like, Abu, like, when I called my dad, I was like, Abu, I am not meeting this guy. Like,
yeah.
I didn't feel like immediate click with him. Like, I don't care who he is, what he does, I don't care about any of like the stuff on paper. Like, I didn't click with him. And my dad's like, just go, Pusha, just go. And so I was like, I'm exhausted, it's the second day of Ramadan, I want to come home and like break fast with you guys. And he's like, no, just go straight to work, from work, and go meet him. So I did. I went, I got to the mall 30 minutes early, bought a brand new outfit, my hair was oily.
I love it.
I had time to shower, so my hair was oily, so I brought some like dry shampoo, bought some makeup from Sephora, and literally, like, I got, like, I looked normal, I got myself looking normal. Not like I was straight from work. And so we hung out there and we couldn't eat yet because it was still, the fast hadn't happened. So we just sat there and we just talked and we hung out and we shopped a little. And then we exchanged numbers that day and we just would talk on the phone. And it was just that. Again, this was like, I had just gotten my iPhone, so I didn't really do FaceTime with anybody yet. It was like FaceTime was still brand new. And so it was just WhatsApp conversations. And this was July. And in October, I was like, bro, like, what's happening? Like, I'm getting offers from other guys.
Yeah.
I need to know, like, if I can't, I'm not the kind of girl that can talk to multiple guys at once. I was not raised that way. I cannot be that way. So I was like, I'm a one person. I devote my full attention to one guy. So if you don't see a future, no harm done. Like, let me know. And I'll move on to the next guy. And he was like, no, I think, you know, there can be a future. And then we continued talking. And then, like, a month later, he came to my house and asked for my hand in marriage from my mom and dad.
And then they pulled me aside to a room and said, do you want to? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And I asked, you know, my dad up to this point had never, ever approved of a guy for me. And he was the first guy. And I asked him, I was like, what's the reason? Because I can list 25 reasons why I shouldn't marry this guy.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, he is the first person who is the true definition of a good Muslim. He prays, he fasts, he's humble, he's not arrogant, he's a kind person. He's like truly a good guy. And it doesn't matter what he has or doesn't has, and like all the things, the pro cons that girls care about. He's like, he doesn't have a six pack. He doesn't look like Brad Pitt. Like, these are all things that girls care about. So he's like, you need to like make an informed decision and think about it and don't rush into it. This is the rest of your life, so figure it out. And I was like, fine. Like, my dad was like, but my dad was like, the only thing I care about is if a guy is a good Muslim and a guy has faith in God, he has the chance to improve. So what you don't like about him, if he has that faith, the faith will get him to give in more effort in your relationship, because he's doing it not just for you, but doing it to please God. So that external factor will motivate him. So he's like, don't worry about the little things. That little things don't matter. So I like him. I think he's a great Muslim. He's going to be a good father, good husband. So for that reason, I say do it. And I was like, okay. I was like, if you like him, I like him. So that was it. It's just if my dad had said no, I would have said no. I didn't care. I didn't care what anyone said but my mom and dad. My mom liked him because she was like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be happy. You don't have to work. You can live a good life. The typical things that mom cares about, you know, moms care about.
Like you're secure.
Yeah, my security. So it's like, so she was like, you'll be secure. You'll be happy. Everyone has great things to say about him. Like, we did our due diligence and researched the guy so he can keep you happy. And my dad was like, that he's a good Muslim. So I was like, that's it. That's all I needed.
Was that important to you, like religion?
Yeah, very important. Very important. Only because, like, I wanted to better my faith. Mm-hmm. And I know I needed that influence. And also, I just feel like I legit, like, my friends have always been much older than me. Like, I don't have the patience for people my age. I don't like sitting around talking about, like, you know, what someone's wearing and gossiping and talking shit about people. Like, I want to talk about real stuff. Yeah. I want to talk about politics and important things. And I don't want to just talk about stupid things that people our age tend to care about. So I was like, you know, I need someone who can, like, talk to me that way. Like, I don't want to sit around and talk about, you know, what's on TV and what Kim Kardashian is doing the whole time. Like, I want to talk about real stuff, you know?
Yeah, you want to talk about stuff that actually
that actually matters. Yeah. And I mean, people our age, I mean, there's, I don't want to generalize, but for the sake of, like, cutting it short, I will generalize. Like, people are very focused, and when they're in their 30s, on them, what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And Yusuf is very focused on the world. That's always been his thing. Like, the amount he does for people in everything, in healthcare, education, everything. Like, he does so much. And I was like, people my age don't do that. And mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, like, as Muslims, you're born and you're raised to believe that, like, your job in life is to help the world because it's temporary. You die and you go to heaven. So what you do on earth is what gets you into heaven. So I was like, you know what? I'm only going to be alive for 60, 70 years. I want to spend the last 30 years of my life doing really good things. And I can't find that with the men I'd been talking to, so.
I like that, though. I think that's a good approach. It's not a very, like, popular approach, I think. I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of people do go for, like, that checklist of, like, looks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, like, financial security, like, what's attractive in the sense of, like, what looks good on paper. But I think what you just listed is really important. Like, it's not just about the now. It's about, like, what's your life going to look like in 5, 10, 15 years?
And a lot of people, you know, I've heard everything about me from, like, every type of comment. But it's like, I also wasn't talking to people. It's like, you know, Kevin Hart made a comedy routine once where he was like, guys can't go backwards sexually. Once they've been exposed to something sexually, the next girl, they'll always want that. That's their new baseline,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And girls cannot go back financially. The level that the parents have provided that girl is what she's going to expect because that's what she's used to.
Yeah.
My parents are doctors. They're both not just doctors, they're specialists. Like, I didn't grow up, like, them making, like, not that I'm, like, I'm, you know, criticizing anybody. However much money you make, people are hustling, people are working hard, you make good money. But my parents, like, they didn't make 6 figures. Together, they made 7 figures. Like, that's what I was used to. And while I wasn't spoiled, my first designer bag is what Yusuf bought me. Like, I did not have any of that because I wasn't raised to care about any of that. My dad was like, no way. Like, I have 3 kids. If I'm buying one person a Chanel, I have to buy 3 Chanels.
Yeah.
And probably 4 for the mom, too. So my dad was like, I'm not setting. That's not the limit I'm setting. But at the same time, I had food 3 times a day.
Hold on, he had more than 3 kids. You said he had
three girls. I meant three girls.
Let's just
my brothers don't care about Chanel. No,
yeah.
No.
Let's not let your brothers go down. I'm talking about girls.
You know, like, you buy one a diamond set.
I just had to correct you.
Yeah, yeah. No. The boys, I will never forget about
that. The boys still matter.
Do they? Well, you know, like, that's what, like, I had a really nice, comfortable life. And I was talking to doctors. I'm like that guy from Chicago. He was making $900,000 as a radiologist. Like, it wasn't like I wasn't going to be, I didn't have to work if I was married to him either. So I've heard a lot of shit, but it's like, you know.
But I always say the haters are going to hate. And what did that Priyanka Chopra just say? Potatoes going to potato.
Like, yeah.
Who cares? But, like, you know what? Like, I think I've seen your relationship from, like, the very beginning to now. And, like, it's exactly what a marriage should be. There's growth there. Not everything is, like, rainbows and butterflies and sunshine, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can really tell that, like, there is love. There's mutual respect. And, mm-hmm. like, I think, like, you guys are wanting to kind of build a family together. And you did. You have a beautiful family.
Thanks.
So that's, like, that's honestly, at the end of the day, who cares what people think? As long as you're happy.
Yeah.
And your kids are happy. That's all that matters.
I don't care. It's only one person paying my bills, and that's the guy I'm married to. He's the only opinion is the only opinion I care about.
Yeah, exactly.
The only one that's paying my bills, that's the only person who I care about. So that's it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think this is a perfect way to wrap up our first episode. Okay.
Next episode, you start. Your life start. Yes.
Next time, I will be in the hot seat. Thanks for sharing.
Well, I hope we didn't bore you guys too much. Or annoy you too much.
I don't think we're boring. I think that, again, haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
Also, we promised to be unfiltered, and this conversation literally started with introductions and not scripted at all. So
yes,
this is a glimpse into like our daily phone conversations.
Yeah.
Which we probably talk like.
And if you guys subscribe and you like our future episodes, if you guys ever want us to discuss something, you want to talk about divorce or grief or death, and we'll cover it all anyway, little by little. But if there's anything specific you want us to like talk about to kind of get our opinion on it or get a different perspective on, you know, stuff, let us know.
Yeah, just DM us at Unfiltered Daisy Edition on Instagram.
So see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.